You guys ready for this season? The whitetail rut. I mean Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Okay, I like the whitetail rut equally with Thanksgiving. I am thankful for the whitetail rut. I often have buck fever really bad this time of year. So if I misspeak, that's why. All right, stewardship, number 11. We have a lot of things to steward in our life, don't we? God has entrusted us with much. How are you doing stewarding the gifts, the abilities, the talents, the skills that God has given unto you? Not just physical, but also spiritual, emotional, intellectual. What are you doing with it? It's God's stuff that he has entrusted us with, which means we should take care of it and make an increase upon that which he has entrusted to us. So hopefully over the last few weeks, you've been checking yourself. How am I doing? Am I doing better? Am I doing worse? And I really do love this time of year because it heightens my senses to thankfulness. I'm thankful all year long, but really this month of November really has me thinking about Thanksgiving and intentionally thinking about the goodness of God and what he's done in my life and how he has been there for me over the years and causes me to do a lot more reflecting and intentional thankfulness. Hopefully we're thankful all year long, not just on Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully it's something we built into our lifestyles and we're continually thankful and grateful for what God is doing. I've titled today's message, Thankfulness in Testing. Anybody like testing? Well, some of you students out there, you love it. Like, there's a test this Friday or Thursday now that we're on 4 week in most of the schools around here. Test on Thursday, test next week, finals coming up, ACTs, ISATs, all that fun stuff, getting ready for college, those fun tests. I got to send my daughter one of these before I forget. Then I'll get in trouble. She's a senior this year, so, I mean, she might move away and leave us or something, so I have to get it in while I can. So give thanks in all things is what we should be doing in our lives. Did anybody just wake up this morning and say, thank you, Jesus? That's good. That's some of us, a few of us, decent percentage. Anybody online, did you wake up this morning and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive? Thank you, Jesus, I get to have church at home on my couch in my pajamas and the coffee pot's right there. I'm just jealous, that's all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And this whole passage is good. If you take time to read it, it could be your homework. But we're just going to pull out verse 18 for today. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, even when your favorite football team's losing, even when you don't get the whitetail of your dreams, even when you don't get to go shopping when you were supposed to, even when your best friend said they'd come over and now they're not going to because they want to hang out with someone else, even when, what's your bad day look like? It can look like a lot of horrible things in this life. It can look like a lot of bad things. But give thanks even in those circumstances. This is God's will for you. Well, I just want to do the will of God with my life. Well, how about we just start here and try to master giving thanks in all circumstances? The Word of God tells us this is God's will for my life. Does anyone have that mastered yet? Anybody? There are a bunch of honest people here today. I love it. I'm not there yet. I'm a pretty thankful guy, or at least like to think that I am. But I'm not there yet. I have bad days where I get a little bit sour and a little bit grumbly and a little bit complainy and maybe even a little bit whiny. And oh, poor me, life's hard. Bleh. But the Word of God tells me to give thanks in all circumstances. Thankful, according to Webster's dictionary, means to be pleased or relieved, being conscious of benefits received. Are you conscious of the benefits you receive every day? I woke up this morning and looked out the window, and it was this beautiful, rainy, foggy morning, and I was like, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, that's my kind of morning. I like that. I like the blue sky and sunshine stuff too, but I was just thinking, oh my goodness, the whitetails are going to be running like crazy today. And I'm thankful for that. I love to get out and just watch them do their animal things. I like all animals, not just whitetails. But I'm thankful that we get to live in a place where we get to enjoy that and be a part of it and experience it. I was thanking the Lord for the view I have from my house. It's gorgeous. I get to look across the Kamiai Valley. I never get tired of it. It makes me get up and give thanks to God. I have this picture on my phone. It's my screensaver, a photo I took, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago probably, at the Flying Bee Ranch where I work. And it's of this rainbow coming down in the middle of a golden field, and the big cliffs and mountains are green, and it's just beautiful. And I love it because every time I open my phone, it reminds me of God's promises, seeing that rainbow, and reminds me of the goodness of God. What are you thankful for in your life? Hopefully you could write a list and run out of ink. Hopefully. So be conscious of the benefits you receive. Are you aware that the very breath that you breathe is the breath of God? He gives you every breath that you breathe. God, thank you that I'm still alive. God, thank you that I can breathe. God, thank you that I have opportunity to go and do your will today and give thanks in all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation, or I think we could put testing in there, has overtaken you except for that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God doesn't leave us hanging in the test of our lives, going, ha, 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 got you. But he gives us a way out. His word says you will be tested. You're going to endure it. But when you are put to the test, he will not give you more than you can handle. And he will give you a way out, which means I have to make a conscious choice in my testing to choose the way out. Or I'm going to choose the path of failure and give in to whatever I'm being tested or tempted with. Do you know what I don't like? Is retaking tests. I hated that in school. I hated to fail. I hated to have to go take the test again. I always wanted to pass on the first try. And it's the same way in my spiritual life. When God presents me with a test, I don't like to retake the test because usually it becomes more challenging and more difficult. But I want to pass the test he sets before me the first time so I can move on, so I can level up, so I can continue in my walk with him. What kind of test do you guys endure? Just some tests I'm really thankful for. I was at a wedding yesterday in Lewiston. I was going by the new Cherry Lane Bridge and was looking at the difference of it compared to the old one and kind of the structure of it, design of it, and just thinking of all the different engineering abilities and different ways to do things. And I was looking at that bridge going, I'm glad that it was engineered, which means they tested it. Because if they hadn't tested it, the first car over it might break it and it would collapse and we're going to save money on material and we're just going to use these light little whatevers. And it might not last very long, but when it undergoes testing, when there are tests being run and taken into account, then we know that the bridge is sound and able to withstand. I think of all kinds of structures and the testing they undergo. In different places around the world, like in earthquake zones, you want your buildings structurally sound for earthquake. So they go through a bunch of rigorous testing. In hurricane places, they have a little different building codes because of the testing. Here, I mean, it's Idaho County, so they don't do that. But just kidding. I mean, they really don't on a lot of stuff. But there is some engineering, and you can have your trusses engineered to hold a snow load, which would be something valuable in our area. Or you can just wing it and do your own and hope it holds. As a builder, I've seen some scary stuff. But if it's tested and proven, you know it will carry X pounds per square foot of roof system if you use these materials. Testing is good for us. You know what I really love test on? Airplanes. Airplanes. When you're sitting in your seat and they're getting ready to take off, and they say, pardon the delay, but a couple of our tests have failed. So we need to rerun them and see if we need to get a new plane. I greatly appreciate that over, you know what? I think we'll make it. I mean, it's just a couple of red lights. Sometimes in our spiritual walk, we go ahead and fly the plane. We don't wait until we pass the test. God's asking us to do something. Just like David said here, God's been talking to me and speaking to me and asking me to do this. He didn't just come running up that very first Sunday. He thought he had the inclination. No, he tested himself. He trained himself. He developed his skill and his ability, and he practiced until he could pass the test at home. And then he's up front here leading. But if we're not careful, we launch the plane early and don't wait for all the lights to go off, and we don't take all the proper tests to qualify ourselves for the mission God has for us, for what he wants us to do. Don't launch your plane early. I've sat on planes where we had to unload the plane and get a different plane and get back on, and all the people are grumbling and complaining. I'm like, would you rather we just launched and see what happens? I'm like, think about it. We could be at 30,000 feet and just plummet out of the sky. I would rather take an hour out of my life, jump off the plane, get on a new plane. What are you thankful for? We should be thankful in all circumstances. We're going to talk about Jehovah Jireh in Genesis chapter 2. The Lord will provide, or God my provider. Genesis chapter 22, got the story of Abraham and Isaac here. We're going to start at the end of the story because this is where we all like to get to. Genesis chapter 22, verse 13 and 14. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." We all love to get to that ending where God provides, don't we? It's like, look at the provision, it happened, everything's wonderful. Sometimes the testing or the journey to get to the provision is difficult. And it's rigorous, and it takes us staying focused and engaged in life, in relationship, in process. Testing is not always quick and easy. Testing is not always fun, but it is worth the reward at the end when God provides. Let's look at Abraham's test and what he had to go through to get to this point. Verse 1 through 2, Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. How many of us at this point would say, not taking the test, I'm bailing out? That's a pretty big test. That's not like, hey, David, will you lead worship on Sunday morning? Hey, David, will you learn the piano so you can play? Hey, David, will you use your skills and abilities of singing in front of the congregation? Still a big nervous ask. But nothing like Abraham is being asked of God right here in this test. Let's read on and see what he says. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Abraham gets up the next day like it's normal life. Obey God. It's like we have to be obedient to God first. He gets up, he obeys God. He does the work of preparing, getting the animal ready, getting his son ready, cutting the wood to make the burnt offering. And then what does he do? He gets moving. All of this takes action on his part. It's part of the test. Will you endure the testing that God sets before you so that you can get to the provision? Verse 4 and 5. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Some parts of your journey in testing, you're going to have people alongside of you helping you, cheering you on, helping carry the load. But there are parts of your journey that you and only you can do. They're only your test. They're not for others. Abraham gets to bring his servants to a point and then has to leave them. And he and his son have to go along on their own. Be okay with both parts of the journey. I had teachers that helped and instructed me and trained me in reading, writing, mathematics, all that fun stuff, science, social studies. But when it came to testing, that was on me. They could help and prepare me and walk with me and teach me along the way. It's the same way for us in our walk. There are people that can come alongside us and help coach us and train us and give us instruction. But when it comes to testing day, that's on us. You must pass your own test. You can't have somebody send you the answers. No proxy testing. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. You've got your part of your load to carry. There's a difference between a load and a burden, right? A load is my personal responsibility, what God is asking me to do day in and day out as a human being of this great earth. Like, I have a load I have to carry, responsibility to steward all that God has entrusted me with. Being a husband, being a father, being a coach, being a pastor, being an employee, being an employer. Everything that I do, that's part of my load that I carry. No one else can carry that. But then there's also the burdens of life that can come upon us when tragedy strikes, when we lose a loved one, when we're in an accident and can't work, or different life circumstances happen. That's our burden that we share with one another, that we need people to walk with us. Right here, Isaac's load is the firewood. Abraham's load is the fire and the knife. They each have their load to carry walking through this testing. Verse 7. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" This kid's sharp. He's figuring stuff out. The testing of faith, answering tough questions. How do you answer that to your son? His faith is being tested. Let's see what Abraham says. Verse 8, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And I don't know if Abraham knew God was going to take care of it already in his heart and had that settled before they even left home. Says he was a man of faith. He was the father of faith. Maybe he was so full of faith. He's like, I know you asked me to do it, but I know it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, I know you're going to resurrect my son and he's going to come back to life. The Bible's not clear on those answers. But you hear in his words right here, God will provide. God will provide what we need. God will provide a way out, even in our testing. You will be faced with testing, but it won't be more than you can handle. And God will provide a way out. I don't know that Abraham knew what the way out was yet, but I know that he knew his God and he knew he would provide. Verse 9 through 12. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. What a crazy test. I hope I never have to face one that difficult. I've had some lay it on the altar moments that in my walk with God that I would call lay it on the altar moment and say, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't see an end, but I'm trusting you. But never with my one and only son. Never with my son's life on the line, with me holding the knife. This is a big test. And Abraham gets ready, and the angel of the Lord intervenes. And then we get to the verse we read, verse 13 and 14. God provides the ram. What do you think is going through Isaac's head at this point? Probably some thankfulness that God provided. It looked bleak. The end was near. That's one scene I want to like revisit when I get to heaven. Like, can I see that in action, God? Like, does Isaac just get unbound and crawl off the altar and, hey, Dad, let's get that ram? What did that look like? Thankfulness in testing. Tests can be very difficult. It can look like there's no way out. It can look like there's no hope. It can look like all is lost. But God's word promises us a way out. If we'll put our faith out there, if we'll put our trust out there, if we'll put our obedience out there. God provides the way, and it might get right to the wire. But God provides a way out. Several years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago, I don't know, it's been a while, I was playing basketball with some friends, broke my foot, ended up being like, I think it was called a Jones fracture, like it was barely hanging on. And the doctor was like, yeah, if this breaks anymore, you're going to have surgery, so zero pressure for 12 weeks. This is like late in the spring, like I'm supposed to start getting my firewood in and supposed to start getting ready for the winter. And so I'm sitting on the couch doing nothing, physically nothing, because I can't put any pressure on this foot or else. So I'm trying to listen to the doctor, which is also hard for me. And I'm sitting there with this foot and going, and I'm starting like 8 weeks in, I'm starting to stress. We don't have wood in the woodshed yet. We need to do this. Looking at all the projects I need to get done. Couldn't put my garden in that year because I couldn't walk on my foot. And for me, it was a huge test. And it's like getting later, and pretty soon it's like, okay, still can't do anything. It's getting close to fall. Winter's coming. No firewood. And I'm like stressing about it. I'm like, this is a test. I'm in my early 20s at this point. God's testing me. And one day I'm sitting there on the couch, and I was a youth pastor at the time here. So I was getting my lesson ready for youth and working on that, and hear this knock on the door. And I go answer the door. It's some guy I don't know. He's like, hey, we're with a tree trimming company, and we've been taking all these trees down in town, and we notice you have a chimney. Would you like the wood? I'm like, there's 1,000 chimneys in town. Like, why would they pick me? Because God sent them to my door. I was like, absolutely. So God delivered already cut firewood to my woodshed, twice as much as I needed for that winter, enough for the following year. And it looked, and wood's not a big deal, right? I mean, you can go cut that late and cut it all winter, and but God will provide. At that point in my walk with God, God was saying, hey, I got you. I will take care of you, even down to your wood supply. I'll fill your woodshed if it needs filled. Don't worry about the small stuff. A few years later, I got really sick and almost died. Had a MRSA infection in my lungs. And like, I couldn't walk 20 feet without taking a nap. I was horribly sick. Fall's coming along. Of course, this year the freezer's empty. I need to go harvest some meat. Need to fill the freezer. Get ready for winter once again. But I can't do anything. I can't sweep a floor. Couldn't work for 6 months. Any kind of work. I was like, man, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but like, we're out of meat. We're running out of food. Haven't worked in 6 months. And then this gentleman in the church says, hey, I'm butchering cows. And I just thought, you know what? I should probably tithe on my cows. And we're butchering 10, so I want to give one to the pastoral staff of the church. So he cuts and wraps the whole cow and distributed us between us pastors here at the Life Center, filled our freezer. God will provide. And I could tell you dozens and dozens of those stories in our life as we've walked with Christ over the last 20 years. How he has met us when it looked like all was lost and it wasn't going to happen, it wasn't going to work. But be thankful in all circumstances. All situations, whether good or bad, find a way to be thankful. My pastor that I grew up under, our church was across town where Cedar Creek Creations is now. I was growing up under Pastor Bomley there, and late in his life, just before he passed away, he and his wife, they were attending church here also. And they were going home one evening. They got the Cloninger's parking lot, went in, got some groceries, came back out, and the car wouldn't start. And it's like a downpour, rainy night, not real lovely out. And he's like, ah. He jumps back in the car, looks or gets out of the car, looks under the hood, tries to see what's going on, can't figure it out. Ended up being their starter had went out. But he jumps back in the car and tells his wife, you know, yeah, the car won't start. And she's like, oh, that's too bad. And he goes, no, it's not. Like, I get to spend more time sitting here with you. And that was just his life. I might have some details wrong on that story, but it was something like that. And he was always that man, just no matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, like just thankful for the moment, for being there, for being in it. And that's one of my heroes in the faith, I would say, that I looked up to and just watched his life as a young boy growing up and saw him never waver in that. He was always thankful and grateful for whether it was a lot or a little, he gave thanks. Just like in this story, Abraham's thankful. but God's given him the opportunity to go make a sacrifice to him. What are you thankful for in your life? I want to close with this one story. Got to remember where I put it. My wife sent me this week. As I was sitting down working on my message, and I had actually just titled it probably 10 minutes earlier, Thankfulness and Testing. And she sends me this, hey, this popped up in my Facebook memories and made me think of you. Taking a servant attitude of thankfulness in all of life's circumstances will help you react as old Matthew Henry did when he was mugged. He wrote in his diary after that, let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not very much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed. I wonder if I could be that thankful. Could you? That was written by Billy Graham. Can you be that thankful? In the midst of tragedy? In the midst of being robbed yourself? Steward thankfulness even in your testing this week. Say, God, where can I be more thankful? We were singing that song, I Surrender. As we're sitting there singing it, I was like, begin being thankful for surrender. Like, there could be no surrender. It could be shoot on sight. And I was thinking back to my earlier days when I was arrested a couple of times and thinking, I'm so glad that there was surrender available. And it wasn't just, I see you, boom. And then spiritually thinking, I thank God that we have surrender available to us. I mean, God could do the little cartoon and say, Arby, you screwed up, and throw the lightning bolt and poof, I'm gone. But no, he says, no, I'm offering you surrender. I'm offering you a chance at repentance. I'm offering you a chance at restoration. I'm offering you a chance for a hope and a future. I'm offering you a chance for eternity with me. Will you choose surrender? Thankfulness, even in the worst circumstances. Thankfulness, even in the testing. Thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity and a chance to surrender. Thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity and a chance to take the test again. So, homework this week, be thankful in all circumstances. Because God is worthy of it. And sometimes we're just not thankful enough. I think our world could use a lot more thankfulness in it. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. God, for your promises. God, that tell us, God, they warn us that we will face trials. We will face testing. We will face temptation. God, but you will not allow so much to come against us that we cannot handle it. And God, when we're in those situations, those circumstances, God, those testings, those temptations, God, your word says you will give us a way out. And God, if we will choose that way out and pass that test, God, you give us that opportunity. And God, if we don't, God, if we fail, God, you give us opportunity at surrender and repentance to take that test once again. And Father, we just thank you for your generosity, for your compassion, God, for your love, for your grace, God, for your forgiveness. And God, we just ask that you would, God, bring to the forefront of our mind, God, thankfulness as we engage in this week's circumstances. God, that we would look for the good in every circumstance, every situation. God, that we would put a spin of thankfulness upon everything that we encounter this week. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.